Blog Talk Radio.
For someone facing incredible obstacles in your life, I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
No doubt
like
God can do
the impossible. I know He can. I've seen him do it. He can turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle.
Over and over again.
He's a provider. He's good. He loves you so much. Come on, think about what he's already done, and he's going to do it again. Come on, wave your hand and sing, I've seen him do it. I know you have your own testimony. I've seen him do it. Come on, Denise, testify. Hey, yeah.
Oh, I've seen him do it.
I know he'll do it. I know he'll do it. He's always done it. The reason he's always done it is because he have loved us with an everlasting love. I want you all to excuse me today because I'm outside, and hopefully you all are hearing me. And if you're not, someone please let me know. The Word of God says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So I know that God's love, love us, is bigger than what we could ever do. It's everlasting. It's not temporary. You know, the enemy will have you to think that all these lies. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God loves us with an everlasting love. Not he have not said that to his angels, but he said that to us because we was made in his image and after his likeness. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to get into the review. We got a lot of things to try to cover. And I will just tell you right off the bat, I want you to know we want to glorify God today. We will glorify God today. That's our intent. That is our purpose, is to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Whatever we're doing, we want to acknowledge him. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, our Lord. He's our Savior. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to put a hedge of protection around us, those that we prayed for, those that are on the road, those that have come through the storm. Put a hedge of protection around them, their vehicles, their properties, their family members. Cover them, Father God, with your blood. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that there will be no hurt, harm, or danger to those that are in you, Father God. I decree it and declare right now. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us and cleansing us from all of our sin according to your word, Father God. Because your word says that you have cleansed us according to 1 John 1:9. Your word says that we'll confess our sins. You are faithful and you are just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you right now receiving your forgiveness, receiving your cleanliness. I thank you, Father God, for it. I thank you, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and whose we are. I thank you, Father God, that your word declare that the battle is already won. Your word declare, Father God, that we're being preserved for such a time as this. I declare, Father God, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that we won the victory because we're in Christ. I declare it right now, Father God, that I expect mercy and grace to follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. I expect grace and mercy to overtake me. If I stop, Father God, your favor will cover me. I thank you for it. Thank you for your healing power, Father God. I thank you because the word of God does not lie. Your word is not like man's word. Father God, your word is not like Satan's word. Your word is everlasting and is truth. You promised, Father God, that we will not die, but we will live in you. Why? Because John 10:10 said, you come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Father God, for being born not of corruptible seed, but of your incorruptible seed. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for washing us in your son's blood and cleansing us according to Hebrews 9:14 and 1 John 1:9. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that 1 Corinthians 6:19 have declared and decreed that we are your temple and you're welcome to live in us. You're welcome to dwell in us. Father God, you're welcome to dwell in something you made, not by hand. But God, Father God, this is your temple. We dedicate it to you today. Use us. Live in us. You redeemed us from the curse of the law. I thank you, Father God. Then you had the nerve. You had the nerve, Father God, to call us your children. Hallelujah. So we received that, Father God. You put that blessing on us. We're going to receive it. When you declare and decree that we more than conquerors, I receive that, Father God. When you declare and decree that we are free, free from Satan's power, I did receive that. I receive that for the people today, Father God. We receive everything because Christ was crucified, and therefore we were crucified with him. And as Christ lived, we live. I thank you for it, Father God, that we're free from condemnation according to John 5:2 and Romans 8:1. I thank you, Father God, that we were born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. And for that reason, the evil one cannot touch us, Father God. Matter of fact, last time I checked, we're citizens with the other saints and the household of God, according to Ephesians 2:19. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for letting us let our light shine so men may see our good works and glorify you, Heavenly Father. Not us. We just want to continue to walk in the Spirit. We want to continue to walk in the light. We want to continue to bless your holy name for all that you've done for us. Because we're something special. We're something special to you. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for calling us a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for justifying us, making us right according to your will and your way. And Father God, I just pray right now that somebody will get a revelated word from this and move on in your ways. Jesus' name, Father God, decree it and declare it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, let me begin by saying, this week we talked about what God said. And in that, we don't have our own words. We have the word of God. And if God chooses to tell us certain things, we need to listen. We need to pay attention. We don't need to get upset and say, well, I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you, when you start shutting up with God, he'll shut up with you. And I don't blame him. I do not blame him. So some of the things that we're going to talk about in our review, unless somebody has some other stuff you want to talk about. First of all, we're like God. And Satan is angry for that reason. I'm going to tell you right now. Because, see, he was created to praise God. When God put those things up in his spirit, that was for him to praise him. He was created to praise. And God gave us angels. And here's what Satan don't like. We have a choice to praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't have that choice. He was created. He had instruments in him. He had words. He was to take those words and create great praises and mighty praises and show the glory of God. He was created to do that. See, so when you're given a job, do the job you're given. And because he didn't do his job, he got kicked out to the ground. That's important. Because, see, when man was taken, made in his image and after his likeness, Satan had already lost a battle. He'd already been through a battle and lost and got kicked out of heaven. That's why he hit the ground, and the only thing close to him being able to communicate with was a serpent. So he was able to get in and out of serpents. He was able to communicate with them. But why am I telling you all this? Time Adam came of age, and he had, because when God created him, you know, he was already grown. He'd have to nurture him. He had to raise him. He's already grown. He made him like that. Made Eve like that. So here's the thing. He didn't know that Satan had been in some mighty battles, and he had won them. He had won some battles, but then he lost the main battle. So he got kicked out of heaven. See, because he was able to get some of them angels to obey his voice and do some things. And he had angels. God gave him those angels to so they could praise God. That's what they were created for. I just want to put a pin there for a moment. Aren't you glad that when you don't praise God and you complaining, God don't kick you out? He still love you. He still calling for you. He still wants you. He still love you. Even when you went the wrong way. Woo, I've been so excited. But let me get into this review. We introduced about the holy angels a couple of weeks ago. And last week, we sort of got into about Satan and in this last lesson, before last, I should say. And now we come to a more thorough study in Scripture, understanding truth. See, anybody that don't want truth, they don't want God, because God is truth. And you want all the truth you can get. You don't want to pick and choose. This ain't no Burger King. You don't want to pick and choose. No, whatever God got for you, you want that thing, man. You want to know the truth. You know why? Because John 8:32 said if you'll get this truth, you'll get free from demonic spirits. You'll get free from religion. You'll get free from all this stuff. And you'll come to know God in a more personal way. You know why? Because God is truth. He is the truth. And so when you be willing to know the truth, you'll put that other stuff to the side, see? So Satan didn't want to operate in truth. So we got to talking a little bit last week about the fallen angels. This lesson, the review pretty much deal with the fallen angels. And then where we are today, things that we might fail to do. That's why it's so important to get in Christ and stay in Christ. We face each day dealing with Satan, if you accept it or not. because the Bible says in Ephesians 6:7, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not a one-time fight, brothers and sisters. This is the fight for your life. You don't stop fighting. You don't hang up the gloves. This ain't like one of them factory jobs. You can retire. No. But the good thing, you win. You win. That's a good thing. And after you fight, you fight this good fight of faith. Fortunately, the only reason you're fighting the good fight of faith is to remind Satan of who you are and whose you are. And that you're not part of the world, that you're part of Christ. So, what we face with each day is trials and tribulation. What we're facing with each day is declaring who we are, what the Word of God say we are, and how significant that is. You're what the Word of God say you are. I prayed with a young man yesterday, and I prayed with him based on the Word of God, not what I felt, but what the Word of God says. Why is that so important? Because that's where his faith has to lie, in that word. And Satan, I want you to stay in that word. He never wanted us to stay in the Word of God. He never wanted us to live by the Word of God. Because if he did, he left Adam alone. They had the word. God gave it to them. That's what God said. He said, in the day you eat of, we'll surely die. Then you have to obey that word. So whatever the Word of God said, so I have people right now, you know, they don't like me because I tell them, hey, it's based on the Word of God, whatever the Word say. And I had a few Satan's little slick demons to try to find scriptures to justify things they want to do. And then I know that's the works of Satan. That's another reason we're talking about this stuff. Because you got to know, brothers and sisters, Christ is sufficient, his strength. Help us to overcome Satan, because the Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Well, what's in you is the Word of God. See, that's what's in you. So, but now this don't eliminate temptation, which is ever present. And remember, you have a carnal mind. There's a carnal nature you're dealing with. So the person that does not know Christ as Lord and Savior is constantly seeking the things of the world. But once you know that, then you don't have no care for this world. The Bible says all that. Now, this is what just freaks folks out when they can't explain this. Because the Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father. And I went like, what? Yeah, Father, that ain't me. Pride, all that lust of the flesh. And that gets deep, brothers and sisters. When I tell you the lust of the flesh is deep, it go beyond just sex. Because most folks think, oh, that's what the lust of the flesh. But it's so much bigger than that. Sex is not one dot in what the lust of the flesh is. It talk about too many other things, like the pride of life. So the person who doesn't know Christ, they live in that area of the world, of the eyes, what the eyes see. See, every time you go and you want to, and it had nothing to do with having a nice home, nice car. See, that's another trick the devil play. God wants you to prosper above all things. He wants that for you. But he don't want your desires to be working toward the things of the world, because that's where Satan is operating. So you be up under his domain. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's the other reason. You need to have a clear understanding of this about Satan. And the truth of the matter is, the fallen angels are the servants of Satan. That old devil, the word devil is best translated as demon. There is only one devil, and he is the leader of his army of demons. That's why what we're fighting against. So there's only one devil. He is the leader of these demons. Demons is devil. Possess. Does that place in our day in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. The only solution to such a medley or these evil forces is Jesus Christ. The demons know him and recognize his authority. Remember over there in Matthew 8:28-32, he recognized who Christ was. These fallen angels call him thy son of the most high God. Not sons, but son of the most high God. So they've been knowing who Jesus was. When Jesus hit the planet Earth and went around, Satan knew who he was. That's why he tried to tempt him with the things that he knew he came here for. Those are the soul of the man, souls of men. That couple little things he kind of throwed him at first was like, sort of, you can call them curveball, because you've been hungry for, you've been fasting for 40 days. I'm sure you'd want something to eat. So that's the way Satan thinks. Well, you know, hey, he got to be hungry. Now, let me tell him to obey me. If you turn these stones into bread, if you be the son of God, this is the kind of action you're with. I do. But anyway, these fallen angels are devils. They are unclean spirit. They seduce you. They're evil spirits called demons. Now, I had a debate with a lady not too long ago. See, because I don't mind talking about the Bible. I don't mind talking about what the Word of God says. As far as I was concerned, this debate dealt with part two of our study. And that is that there's an evil influence in the world. You can't say it's not. Look at the tornadoes. Look at hurricanes. Look at all these people killing, dying. That ain't God. Who told that lie? Satan is the prince of the air. Listen, brothers and sisters. Here's what happened. Remember, Adam was over the whole world, the entire world. So what he actually gave up was all of this power. He gave it all up. The very power that caused him to name every animal. The very power that caused him to separate sea from land, from him to going from one place to the Ephraim River to the next. I mean, Satan got all of that power. That's what he did. Because Adam gave him that. Now, with that being said, Lucifer, that's what made him great, because he had all that power that God had gave to Adam. Other than that, he was just like any other little demon. So we had to begin to fight against this stuff. So there was two classes of angels, if you want to. The fallen and the chain angel. Because I read over there in 2 Peter 2 and 4, and there was angels who had sinned. You know, like Satan. Satan created sin. Yeah. Because he said in himself, he is the fabricator of sin. Not us. Because God never, and even when Jesus was here, Jesus wasn't about teaching us about sin. He was teaching us who we are and as far as to the Father is concerned. And his relationship to the Father. He came from the Father. That's why he was able to tell us what the Father wanted. Nobody else came from the Father, so they couldn't explain that. Jesus said, when them demons recognized him, because that's kind of like where I was at, he gave him permission to go into the swine. There were a lot of Jews that they don't eat swine or pig, whatever you want to call it. But I'm of the mindset that whatever I ask God to bless, if it's lamb, pig, swine, goat, whatever, it's going to be blessed. Because I don't know what all these different animals eat. I'm not there. I don't know if they got pesticides. So I don't go and pick out. I just ask God to bless whatever goes in this body. Because Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do it with any way he can. He'll do it with pesticides. He, you think you're getting good food, and he done put something in it. But anyway, we'll get on to the review. Because it was very important, brothers and sisters, to me that we understand the word of God based on the light of redemption. Because when you get into what some of these scholars believe and what some of they saying, it make it real difficult trying to understand angels, especially fallen angels. Like for instance, some of these scholars have this thing where they fallen angels it's locked up. I'm trying to think of the scripture. I think it's Matthew 22 and 30. Well, actually it came from Genesis 6 and 2, if you want to know the truth. And they want to separate which angels, like, for instance, what I really want to say. Yeah, like those giants in the land. Well, angels doesn't reproduce. They don't have reproduction capabilities. But because they lay with the women of earth, somewhere people have gotten this idea. And like I said, I don't want to argue these certain things. I know that angels can become sorrow in the heart. I know a lot of things they did that caused God's line to be separated. I could go on with a lot of stuff, but people make what sin is. They make sin. And I'm going to cap it by saying this, because I want everybody to understand. I'm going to cap it by saying this. We are not to know people after the flesh. Even though you know Christ, don't know him like that anymore. We have to know the New Testament. We have to know that things that lies ahead for us has to basically do in the New Testament. And so Ephesians 6 and 12 is the falling and free angels. That's why we have to deal with them. That's why it's different. They're fallen angels. So when we think about the works of Satan and his angel, like it's mentioned in the Bible, remember that he is the prince of this world. Do your homework. See what he's talking about over in John 12:31, Ephesians 6 and 12. He has a work to do. And that work is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan does, man. So don't be attributing that stuff to God. Hey, you won't kill your children, but yet you think God will kill his. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's not God. That's another lie of Satan. And the Bible says in John 8:44, he is the father of lies. That's what he does. He produced lies. Man, I could just, you know, I probably could spend the rest of the day just talking about some of the lies Satan and I produce. I mean, and then they right before our eyes, and people accept it as though it's true, you know. And I'm not just, but he's a liar. He's a deceiver. You know, he didn't show up with Adam in his natural form. He used a serpent. He went through, because he didn't show him who he was. He used a serpent. He got in that serpent and began to conversate with him because he had been kicked to the ground. I know y'all know all this, but I'm telling you, brother and sister, he is such a liar. If you don't really go and examine the things that you might think, you may believe that's true. If you don't examine that stuff, then you caught by Satan's snares. You know what the Bible says? I'm going to tell you. The fear of man bring a snare, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So you got to know what God's word says. And that's why I constantly tell people the word at noon ain't no joke. We're about God's word. We're about getting answers through his word. That's what we're about. Because, see, Satan has words too. And Satan knows how to take the word, and he'll try to change it. If he quoted to Jesus, and Jesus is the word, what he think about quoting it to you is nothing. Trust me. He don't think nothing of it. You know Matthew's 4. Yeah, I was there. I don't have to tell you. Satan always want to slander the word of God. Well, God said, well, yeah, he said these things. Now, your job is to know what to say behind some of that craziness and that foolishness. That the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth, which can be wrongly divided. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God coming, where it came. That's righteousness, peace, and the Holy Ghost. Well, God's kingdom has come. We have to receive that kingdom and live in it. His government. That's what kingdom is. It's government. It's that simple. It's what's governing you. Just like the king of England, they govern those people. Over here in the United States, we're governed by governors, by the president, by the house. Everything and everybody has a governing body. So you got to make up in your mind, are you being controlled by the God of this world? And brother, let me tell you, you can say Jesus built a fence around me and protect me. You can say God built a hedge around me. But listen, brothers and sisters, that doesn't not eliminate us from fighting the devil and his forces. So this week we talked about how important it is, since you're in a war, to know what your, I'm about to get the screen up here now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our job, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. I can get this screen up now. Our job, brothers and sisters, is to know our enemy. I use this one day this week. If you're going to play football, know what your opponent can do. Play any sports, know what your opponent can do. See? That's what you want to do. You want to know what your opponent can do. That makes you a better player. That makes you a winner. Because you know what they can do and what they can't do. Like in football, if you know they can't stop the run, run it. If you know they can't stop the pass, pass it. But you need to know what Satan can do. You got to know that. And a lot of times, so when the Bible tells us to stand in righteousness, Satan can't deal with righteousness. He can't deal with truth. He can't deal with the soul or the preparation of the gospel. When God said take the shield of faith, that is to take that word and put it right up there. When he tells you to take the sword of the spirit, Listen, brothers and sisters, you have to gird up your loins. In other words, tighten up your belt with truth. Stay free of bondage, because Satan is going to try to deceive you. Don't think because your name is whatever, whatever. Satan can far less care about that, because he got his own thing he's trying to present to us. Okay, so praise God. Hallelujah. I got Pastor here. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon, Pastor. Amen.
Okay, so you are able to read today? I apologize, everybody. I just want you to know my screen is up now and it's full. And we're fully engaged now. Praise God. So we'll go over a couple of scriptures. Unless somebody has something they want to say, because I can let you in now. Just press one and we'll let you in on the review. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Well, we're going to start out with 1 Peter 5 and 8. This is one of our foundational scriptures, along with 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, and 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. So let's go, if you will, to 1 Peter 5 and 8. As Pastor, it should be so. I know she will. She loves the word of God. 1 Peter 5 and 8. And I'll read it out of the King James Version. And anybody want to comment on this, please do so. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen. From the Message Bible, keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is posed to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. Amen.
Any fighter, anybody been around the fight game, know you have to protect yourself at all times, because your opponent is the devil. He's your adversary. He's not God's adversary, people. A lot of times we're asking God to do things God done told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know somebody's not going to like this. God said to the man, he said, he that findeth the wife, findeth a good thing. Then the man turned around and said, God, find me a wife. People, God is not confused. He's not the author of confusion. If he tell you to love, you can't turn around and say, God, love him for me. If God done told you to go to battle, you can't turn around and flip the script and tell God to do that. See, that's some stuff Satan does. Mm-hmm. If God said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then expect that. Go lay hands on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Amen.
So if he said that's your adversary, guess what you're going to say? Uh-huh. You got it. That's exactly what you're going to say. You're going to say, whoa, Lord, this is my battle. This is my war. This ain't yours. This is my thing here.
All right.
With your brothers and sisters. You know, that's why he says, you keep awake, man. Watch. You know, pay attention. Watch all the little tricks of the devil. He's working against you. So you say, how is he working against me? I ain't doing that to him. You don't have to. You're his adversary. He opposes truth. And if truth is in you, he's going to use everybody on his list, anybody around you, anything around you. If he can get into it and cause you to not be paying attention to what you're doing, that's what he does. He like a hungry. Can you imagine a hungry lion? What a hungry lion! He gonna tap everything in his way. When a lion is hungry, look out, brothers and sisters. That's how Satan is. He don't care.
Have mercy.
Yeah. That's how he operates. Like a roaring lion. That's why. With this battle that we're fighting, Ephesians 6 says for us to be strong in the Lord. That's where you get your power at. Be strong in the Lord. And these folks, oh, well, I'm fasting and I'm doing this and the third. Brothers and sisters, you're setting yourself up. Because the first thing Satan going to do to you is tempt you with food. So you're going to have to fight that battle right there before you can get into the real stuff Satan throwing your way. Because now you got to deal with food. And if you're in a war, you don't need to be hungry. Well, you know, Jesus did this. He sure did. But he came from heaven prepared. You got to get prepared. Don't be trying to, if you're going to operate in the spirit of Christ, then make sure you understand that. Totally. Don't just go and grab you a little bit and people say, well, this is what Christ did. I want to know the whole thing. Christ was able to resist him and stand on that word because he left the word. Christ, he cast all his cares on the Lord, just like the Lord tell us to do. Don't be caring about this stuff. Just give it to me. If you cast your cares on him because he cares for us, that's what we're supposed to do. And then we're supposed to be stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then you have to know what that is. Okay. The other scripture we had was 2 Corinthians. Unless you had any comment, Pastor, or anybody had any comments on that, press 1 because I can see you now. Press 1. Anyone? Okay, you had any comments?
Not at the time.
Okay, in 2 Corinthians 10, let's go to 5 and 6 first, because he says to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the sixth verse says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Amen. And from the Message Bible. Okay, that's talking about the world. Okay, you said 5 and 6 first. Okay, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warp to feast, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Amen.
Amen. Say, when you come to the place, brothers and sisters, that you are ready to push those who will not obey the truth and make them an open shame, send for truth. I don't care if you hurt their feelings or not, okay? Because that don't have anything to do with this. You know why? Because we're not fighting those kind of battles. We're not dealing with your feelings. That's why he said you have to bring every thought that comes against the word of God, bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every one of these imaginations. See, because when you think about what he said over there in that fourth verse, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds. You're fighting a war that requires you to use spiritual things. And you're out here trying to fight with the enemy within the flesh. And I'm going to tell you right off. Satan uses words. He always uses words. He's good at that. That was one of the things that God had gave him, the ability to articulate words. That's why he was able to, supposed to, put praises toward God.
All right.
And let me tell you this. There was three. There was Michael, and there was Gabriel, and there was Lucifer that sit on them. Well, two of them is still there. That's Michael. These are cherubim angels. Michael and Gabriel. They still there. They mighty angels. They doing what they were created to do. And God knew how to create it because he had created Michael. So Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. And Lucifer lost and got kicked to the ground. That, of course, that was before man was here. But still, Michael was created. And so Jesus said to Lucifer, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning.
Mm-hmm.
The other two are still there. That's why we ought to praise God.
Yeah,
that's why everything have breath ought to praise ye the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Give him credit. He knew what he was doing. He had that defense ready for when Lucifer was sin. God knew that. That's why he had Michael there.
Mm-hmm.
Created Michael so he could take care of the light work. Now, we have to come to the knowledge to know to use the weapons of our warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with carnal stuff. It has to do with the word of God, speaking that word, declaring that word. Every chance you get an opportunity, declare that word. You know why God said, I knew you when I formed you in your mother's womb.
Yeah,
he said, and I love you with that everlasting love. When God hit me with that thing this morning, because I've been there for you.
Mm-hmm.
The decision was made a long time ago. Now, what you do is you operate in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, you can't just have part of God's word. Pastor said the other day, and thank her for taking over Thursday. I had something was going on. But anyway, she took over, and she was saying, you can't be half naked. You got to have the whole truth, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good enough to know a little truth. You got to have the whole truth.
Yeah.
We must have the entire truth. Then we have to believe that truth. See, it's just not enough to know God's word.
Yeah. Amen.
You have to believe it in your heart, then turn around and confess it, because that's how you fight him. That's how you fight the devil, with the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You speak it. You confess it. When sickness comes, you confess it. By his stripes, I'm healed. Pastor, I'm hurting. You don't know. I don't have to know. Don't want to know how you feel. I know that sounds rude and all of that. I could fatherless care. I want to win the battle. And in order to win the battle, you got to put that word out there. You got to bind up Satan and say, Satan, you're a liar. And you got to call those things to be not as though they were. So if you're feeling bad, Lord, thank you for a good feeling spirit, if that's what you need. But that's not what you need. What you need to do is declare that word according to his precious promises. According to the word of God, you're a child of God. You declare that and decree that, Lord, I'm your child. See, Satan can get you to shut up. Boy, because he a counterfeit anyway. Well, just a lady told me the other day how she had unspoken prayer. What? You can speak. I have an unspoken request, but don't tell me about it. Don't even speak it. I know, but I have to speak, brothers and sisters. I will live and not die. I will do the works of God. John 10:10 said he come but to take and come but to steal, kill, and destroy. So I have to speak what Jesus said. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I am not going to let Satan have that last word in that area. Yeah, where I'm sick. Yeah, but he's a healer. I'm buying. Yes, but you can be delivered. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Just began to speak. Speak that truth. Speak that word. The Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in good health. And you think I'm not going to tell somebody that? I'm going to speak good health on you.
Thank you, Lord.
Even as your mind prospers. He says, you know what? Remember the Lord, thy God. For he is he who giveth thee power to get wealth. It's the Lord who giveth you power to be established in his covenant. It is the Lord who giving you his stripes so you could be healed. It's the Lord.
Yes, thank you,
that
Lord.
You can believe it and it shall come to pass.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I like what that scripture said over there in Philippians 4:13. I can't forget it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So if you got to stand on it and you say, I can say it, I'm going to do it. If I have to do it through Christ who strengthened me, that's where I'm going to get my strength. I don't have no strength. And you start rebuking that stuff and start declaring God's healing over your life, your mind, your children, all that good stuff. Listen, brothers and sisters. But okay, anybody else had any comments? Because next week we're gonna talk about all these wonderful weapons you have to defeat the devil with, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, you ain't seen no war yet. A lot of people don't know the war is going on in Ukraine. America spent over $50 billion for that war. Oh, really? Yes. I didn't know that. I know because you're not in the battle. Just like you may not know you're in a war right now because you're not engaging. But I'll tell you right now, you're going to start engaging. Every time that stinking devil, you're going to get on the word at noon and you're going to bind him and you're going to tell the enemy how he don't have any power over you. And you can look him right in the face and declare those things to be not as though they were. See, sick people need to declare that they're healed.
Hallelujah.
People need to declare. See, this is a war. You need to declare openly that I have the mind of Christ. I got a good mind.
Yeah.
Just got to point this stuff out, see?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Amen. Because I just want to read that from those scriptures from the living word, starting with the fourth verse, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. It says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Have mercy. Amen.
Amen. Now, I'll tell you something else, too. And just to give you a little hint, see, righteousness is one of the things Satan can't stand. You'll beat him up every time. You have a right. It's your right to be healed.
Hallelujah.
It's your right to tell Satan to take his stinking hands off of you. That's your right.
Thank you, Lord.
Matter of fact, the Bible says you've been made right. You've been made alive in God's spirit. You've been risen with Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
You got, we got, I'm telling you, you got weapons of mass destruction. Some people, well, I got a covenant right here, you got, but there's a lot of rights you're going to learn about you got next week. And if you don't use them, hey, it's on you. But it's a tool that God gave you to fight with. You have to fight with the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. You have to fight with that. That ain't something that, oh, it sure look good. No, you got to fight with that.
All right.
Looking good. You got to fight with that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fight. You got to stand in your faith, man. Okay. We thank each and every one of you all for listening. Sorry we were able to get you all in kind of late, but hey, we just do the will of God. Be blessed, and we'll see you all on.